everybody, welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to talk about a thing where they go back to the very first season. Can you believe it? You remember other thing? You're going to go crazy for this thing. And I'm joined, as always, by Miss Shadow Lovely and Slow Beef. Hey, what's good?
Hello.
Yo. Hey.
We're going back to the house. We're going back to the house, baby. That's what we're doing. You thought it was just going to be we're doing Coven again. No, idiot. We're doing the house again, too. We're going back.
Yay.
Yep.
So yeah. we ended last episode with Moira getting ghost closure where Moira admitted to her mom that she killed her mom, but her mom was like, no, it was like reasonable and chill. I actually am like a really chilled out lady, and I think it was dope the way you killed me.
It was euthanasia, honey. I forgive you. You know, so yeah.
Mercy killing.
Yeah.
Right.
So we wrapped that bad boy up, which, yeah, very cool. Very cool. And we are back at the house once again, and immediately we meet up with Constance, who's like, thank God Moira's gone. That bitch never shut up, which is like crazy because Moira did a lot of things, but shutting up was actually one of those things. She didn't talk a lot, and whenever told, like, get out of here, she would just skedaddle. Like, she wasn't like an incessant yapper who would like show up and be like, fuck you, Constance, like every 10 seconds.
Yeah, she would really kind of only speak when spoken to. I think the only exception to that rule was like when she was trying to fuck Ben Harmon, but like who knows how much of that was real.
I mean, the thing is, I think she just spoke a regular amount. Like when she was old lady Moira, right? She like sold her on how good she was, you know, how housekeeper she was. That's like the most of it, really, you know. And then every so often it's like, I'm not sexually harassing your husband, you know. And then Vivian Harmon's like, yeah, I guess that does track, so I don't know, you know. But yeah, there's no just like, oh, Moira, please shut up. Like, that's just a whole new writing invention that we've just found out
like
about.
Like, Hayden from season one never shut the fuck up. Ben Harmon's mistress, she never shut the fuck up. She was constantly talking, and she is a ghost in the house. So you'd think that, like, I don't know, that would be more important, that Constance would be like, can you please get this lady to shut the fuck up?
Right.
No, it's Moira. Also, like, remember that... All of it keeps coming back to this, and I know I keep harping on this, and I'm sure that there's some people that's like, okay, you're going to have to let it go. American Horror Story clearly is not going to play by the rules or whatever.
That won't be me. Please keep.
Yeah, no, I'm going to beat that dead horse. I'm going to beat that dead horse until it's paced.
I gotta be honest. I think the people explicitly are subscribed to the Patreon to hear you
on this.
So, like, please.
That's fair. This is an anthology series. That's like what it's built on. Is that every season is a different season, and that the whole deal is like, ooh, what if we used the same cast for different characters? Like, and at its core, that's a cool idea. There's not really a lot of other shows, if any, that come to mind that do that, where it's like, oh, every season's going to be a new theme, but it's going to be the same cast of characters. It's kind of like seeing like a theater troupe performing like different plays. Like, it's a cool idea. I'll give them that. But the problem with that is then you get to like this season where it's like, okay, you have to have extensive ball knowledge to understand half of these references. And if you haven't seen the other seasons, which you shouldn't have had to, because it's a fucking anthology, you're not going to understand much. Because even in this small, the only, like, imagine you're a person, God, I wish that was me, who had only seen this season of American Horror Story. The only interaction you see between Constance and Moira is the little bit of time where Constance is like berating her for not doing a good job of cleaning the den or whatever. Like, you don't know anything about Moira fucking her husband. You don't know anything about Constance killing Moira. You don't know anything about that. You don't even know that Constance doesn't actually own the house, because she's like, this is my house. And like, no, it's not. No, it isn't. It's just very weird. That's one thing that bothers me, I think, the most about this season is they're like, ooh, this is our Avengers Endgame of American Horror Story. And it's like, well, you don't get to do that.
Yeah.
I'm very glad you brought up Marvel explicitly, because I was going to say, it feels like people always say with Marvel movies, like, oh, you have to watch all of them to, you know what's going on in the later ones. And I personally have found that to largely be bullshit with Marvel movies, because they're like pretty straightforward hero stories. You know, like, mm-hmm. I can see the nasty man who's like, I'm gonna eat all the nuts on earth and be like, okay, I hate that guy.
Right.
Like, it's not complicated. This one, though, like, you kind of do. Like, they have a lot of characters who are trying to use subtlety. But the problem is, if you haven't seen the previous seasons, you're like, I don't understand what this Constance lady's about. This lady seems crazy. And she is, but, like, not in the way they're portraying her this season.
Not only that, but then they'll, like, they do this in a little bit. They like throw in a character that actually wasn't there in season one or whatever, and you're like, wait, am I forgetting? And they're like, no, this is just a new person we added. Like, here's a new kid, which is like, well,
here's a new bonus kid, DLC kid, and also we're not gonna tell you anything about her. Like,
wait, what
she'll
the fuck
just
is
exist.
That?
Yeah. No, we'll just, you know what I think it is? So I think, I'm not going to look it up because I really don't give a shit. But like, I think in season one, I vaguely remember making a note being like, Constance mentions having four children, but we only know three of them. Do we think that's a misspeak, or are we going to meet another child? And we never do in season one. So I wonder if this was them being like, yeah, we fucked up. We fucked up and said there was four kids, and then we never showed you a fourth kid. So here's the fourth kid that we never showed you. Here she is. Don't ask any questions about her, though, because we're not going to fucking answer them.
We are writing one thing for this kid, and that's it. They are going to be silent. They're going to have one physical characteristic, and that's it. We're not writing any more shit for this kid.
Mm-hmm.
A physical characteristic that will make you want to know more information about that child.
Too bad!
Yeah.
But like, it's so wild because it's kind of like gaslighting you, because already you're kind of like, all right, wait, I got to remember exactly what happened like seven seasons ago that, you know, I'm probably not watching until now because, you know, as good of a fan I am, I don't have this on DVD unless I do, and I'm waiting for it to air. And then they're like, you remember this from season one? You're like, oh no, like, how did I forget this? It's like, you didn't, or just making it up. Like, what
jerk. Well, it's funny you mention that, because literally when the scene happens, and we will get there in a second, don't worry. But like, when the scene happens, the first thought I literally had was, I was like, that's not what Adelaide looked like. I was like,
right?
I remember her having a daughter. That was like that was a big plot point. That is not what she looked like, and that is not how old she was. And then I had like a second where I was like, well, is that like one of the little nasty man with the shovels kids that he set on fire? That would be weird. No, that's not true either. I literally just thought that like they had like retconned Adelaide because they couldn't get the actress. And then I remembered that Adelaide didn't die in the house, so she didn't have to be a ghost there. That was like a whole deal in season one.
But wait, wasn't she one of the witches in Coven? Now that I think about it, she was.
She was, yeah. Adelaide's actress was a witch. I don't know that.
Maybe.
I'll be honest, I don't remember if she ever comes up in Apocalypse. I don't think that actress is in this season. I guess she's the only one. Like, thinking back on it, I think she's the only one who didn't. Did she die? I don't remember in Coven.
I don't think
she die?
Oh, wait, maybe she... Oh, no, she went with Papa Legba. Remember? That was her thing.
Oh, that's right. She got...
Yeah,
right. Yeah, that's right. That's so fucked up and stupid.
Yeah.
She's
like, loved
abandoning witches in hell. That was, like, their favorite hobby at the Miss Robichaud School for Abandoning Witches in Hell.
That was the voodoo lady who gave her to Papa Legba, I thought. I could be misremembering.
She was happy with it, though. Because I think they needed an excuse to get rid of her so she couldn't be in the running for the Supreme, you know, and you're supposed to think it's kind of Zoe, but then like Cordelia like swoops in at the last second and all that, you know,
because she had the telekinesis, or the telepathy rather, that nobody else had, which I think is like another one of those powers that's probably cooler than most of the Seven Wonders IMO. Right up there with Pain Transference. But that doesn't make you the Supreme, apparently. You gotta have all the vanilla powers.
Wait, what was her... I'm sorry, what was her power again?
Telepathy. She could hear thoughts.
Right. She was a mind reader.
Right. Yeah.
And she had a hot Christian boyfriend. That was also a plot point in season 3.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I forgot about
She loved to fuck and also had a Christian boyfriend. Wow, that's so cool. Anyway, back to this season.
Back to this season. So someone in one of the chats about the podcast did mention they were like, "Oh god, they're going to make Michael Langdon Tate's kid that he had with the mom, huh? That please don't do that. They won't do that, will they? Bad news. They did.
That's what they're doing. They got it.
They asked Constance about Michael, and she's like, "Yep, he was born in the house. It was like a really bad situation that led to him being made, and he was like super evil. Even as a baby, he was like." Oh, time to murder some squirrels, and like in a really fucked up way. Like, it's so funny when she's describing this too. She's like, not like regular animal murder, like worse.
Yeah, it's very funny that they like full sent on like evil baby. They're like, you don't understand how evil this kid is. Like, even as a baby, evil baby. And I'm like, okay, we've seen The Omen. Like, we get it. But like, he's not The Omen.
Oh, you're
though.
Right. They are ripping off The Omen. I didn't even make the connection. You're absolutely right.
Oh, yeah, this is just The Omen. This plot point is just The Omen. It's just literally The Omen. What if the devil was a baby? Except for, I guess, they do one step removed, so it's not technically the same as The Omen.
Well, it was on Ryan Murphy's DVD shelf, so yeah.
You're right, Liz. It's not the devil. Instead, it's a weird guy who rolls around on the ground yelling, "Daddy!" What an improvement!
Great.
Oh, Daddy Satan, please help me, Daddy! Give me the vision of snakes, Daddy!
God,
fuck, what a guy! What a villain!
God, this sucks so much. Yeah, so now we get Michael's position from Constance, who's like, "That was my grandbaby, and I raised him, and he was a little nasty lad who liked to murder squirrels and sometimes other animals, and then he would nail them to the roof, and I had to get them down." I'm like, as a baby? Like, I get that he's evil, but, like, how is he nailing them to the roof?
Holy shit, fucking I didn't even think about that. Like, yeah, he was murdering stuff and putting it on top of the fridge. Like, damn, how'd he get up there?
Fucking boss baby. But with evil. Here we go.
Being an evil baby gives you special powers, I guess. If you're, like, super evil, they let you levitate a little bit.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. And Constance, like, says, like, the most, like, cliche thing. She's like, "Yeah, I've seen the Discovery Channel. I know what a serial killer looks like." And I'm like, I'm still more focused on the fact he was nailing shit to the ceiling. Like, you're right, and you should say it, but, like, I would be more focused on the part where he was getting up to the ceiling as, like, a 2-year-old.
No, I was just saying, I would also be focused on how does this help us, like, stop him or learn more about him than this life story, like, we did a side quest for. But, all right, yeah, thanks, Constance.
Yeah, like, I had that same thought while I was watching the episode. I was like, why do we care about him as a baby? And then I'm like, I guess technically, Chablis and Madison weren't, like, specific in what they asked. They were just like, tell us about Michael. And I guess Constance was like, sick. I've been waiting to talk shit about my grandson. This is perfect. Then they literally just rip a beat off from Freak Show. And I guess this is their nod to Freak Show, which we've had one in Cult. So I don't know why we're doing one here. But and basically she would bury anything that he killed in the garden under some roses, which, if you guys will remember, is what Dandy's mother, what Mrs. Mott did whenever Dandy killed somebody in Freak Show, is she would bury them in the rose garden. That's, like, nothing for no one. It does make, like, this is not me giving American Horror Story credit. This is, like, basic, like, filmmaking / TV making 101. But, like, it does give like a not haunting, but like it does give a striking visual when at a certain point, because we see in this scene in the flashback, she buries the squirrels under one rose bush that later on, as the flashback progresses, the camera will zoom out and then there will be like hundreds of rose bushes. And like that's an effective visual. Sure. I'll give them that. That is one of the few times they've done like a good storytelling, like show, don't
tell.
Yeah,
visual storytelling.
That's like the only time I think they've ever done this in that show, though. I don't think they've ever done that ever again. They've never done something like that.
Stretching their legs. Yeah.
And I was like, damn, they learned how to do a show.
This shot has a purpose.
Yeah. This isn't just a shot reverse shot. Damn. And then like,
One other thing, Constance does a thing that makes me fucking crazy, which is she says, yep, I could tell he was definitely going to be a serial killer. And it's like, okay, did you like do anything to make him not do that? Nope. We tried nothing and it didn't work. Yep. Great. Yep. Keep it up, Constance. Yeah. Like, nice. What'd you do? Nothing.
I watched Dexter last year and like, oh, that might have been a good idea. Yeah. I could have moved him toward killing other killers or something, I guess. I don't know. But next time.
Yeah. At least Dandy's mom, when she found out he was killing people, was like, okay, well, like, try and at least make it like bad people or something. Like, it don't just be killing anybody. Like, she at least tried to make it constructive at a certain point.
Right.
Yeah, it's also, she's like, yeah, I've seen the Discovery Channel. When I saw the dead animals, I know what a serial killer looks like. I'm like, the fact that his dad was a school shooter wasn't like the first idea. That wasn't like I feel like that's a bigger criteria than the small animals. Them together, like even bigger red flag.
You would be on guard at the very least. Yeah, you would be like, you know what, I'm gonna keep my guard up and make sure I keep an eye out in case he does that thing again. And it's like, clearly she was like, nah, it's fine, let it rock.
It was the squirrels. Cool. It was the squirrels that tipped her off that it would be a bad idea.
Has Constance gone into the whole, like, I was born to be a mother thing yet? Because I feel like that is it in this, when she's talking about raising Michael and all that, or is that a little
later? Yeah. I think it's this next part, because after she talks about the roses, she, like, it cuts out of the flashback back to her in the kitchen talking to Madison and Chablis, and she's like, you're pretty skinny. I bet you can't have any babies. And Madison's like, okay, cool. Right. Anyway, and then Constance is like, all right, I've said my weird Constance thing. Anyway, I think I was born to be a mother for forever. I think that that's what God put me on earth to do, even though it up four times.
Not only that, she even says at one point, like, when she's talking about, I think, Adelaide having Down syndrome, like, you know, they didn't have some of the options, like, to get rid of her or whatever. Remember, like, that kind of line or whatever? And it's like, well, obviously you weren't meant to be a mother. And there's honestly, there's like, you fucked up real bad with Tate. Like, you know, that's not at all like what your character was like in season one.
I was gonna say, everything about her character was like very vain and about herself and how she deserved the house and it should have been her because she was like a failed starlet or whatever, and how she was still like hanging on to her vanity despite everything. Like, it was not, she wasn't a mother.
No.
Yeah. She was quite bad at
her other kid, she trapped in the attic. Bo, she trapped in the attic because he also had physical deformities. Or I guess the basement, not the attic. Well, I don't remember where they put him. I think he was the attic, and I think that Infantata was the basement.
Yeah, you're right. Infantata was the basement. Bo
the
was,
house
I think,
has a
the
lot
ball,
of babies
right?
in it, is what I'm saying. There's a lot of it evil does. Babies in the house.
Right, right.
I guess Bo's not really evil, technically.
Dr. Ether, right? Like,
And the guy downstairs who only does abortions 2-for-1. he'll only do it if he gets the mom, too.
You know, I'm thinking about it, because that's, like, in a roundabout way. I'm sure this was not their intention at all. In a roundabout way, that does kind of tie in Hotel, because in Hotel, we see Lady Gaga go to the...
I was just thinking that.
She gets the abortion there, and then evil baby number 5 shows up and kills a nurse. Weird that they never like have that nurse come back. They're like, yeah, she wasn't important enough to be a ghost at Murder House. She just got obliterated by the vampire baby or whatever. Also, it doesn't like makes sense why that baby was a monster, because she was like a vampire, and I think the father was a ghost. I don't know why that makes like a monster baby, but then again, I don't know, because I don't know. I haven't given it much thought.
No rules. Right. Ghost house.
Is this a monster? Is this a monster rancher situation? Like, do they get the traits of both parents? Like, I don't know how this works.
It's like cooking. It's like cooking in Legend of Zelda. If you put two things that are wrong together, you just get monster baby.
You get stinky.
Yeah, it's like not valid. Monster baby.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes so much sense. Okay, so this is when they do the pan out to the big rose garden. And I, like I said, the bar is in hell, but it is a good visual storytelling shot. And it's shots like these that make me wish that the rest of the show was good. And then we go back to the flashback. And she's like, when Michael was 2 or 3 years old, he fucking killed the babysitter.
Yeah. And they just have him like rocking back and forth in a chair, like smiling, covered in strawberry jam, just like tea. And then they made an excuse for why they only wanted to have two ages of actor. Yeah, sorry.
Can I just say, before we move on from the dead babysitter who's just laying in a pool of her own blood on the floor, skill issue. If a 2 or 3 year old takes me out, I deserve to go, frankly. Because he doesn't have magic at this point. He's just a kid. He's just like a nasty little kid. If a 2 or 3 year old was not pet cemeteried and somehow gets the upper hand on me, I deserved it, frankly. I just want that to go on the record that I would not listen to a 2 or 3 year old boy.
Oh, if I get down low enough for an uppercut, that kid's going to space.
I'm punting him like a football is what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. That little bastard's getting a spiral.
Shippuden.
Yeah, then they decide it's time to Benjamin Button this kid.
Oh, hey,
we gotta make this kid old. So instead of just, you know, doing the normal thing, which would be like cutting forward and being like, yeah, right. And now he was an adult.
To
and
make
just
a long
ignoring
story short.
The timelines. Right. Yeah. So like they got really in their head about timelines, I think is what happened here, where they're like, oh, fuck, the ages won't work right.
That's what
he
I
would
think.
Be like
yeah.
too late. Yeah. And so they're like, and then he went to bed and he was like 7 years old and he woke up and he was 17. Can you believe that? And everyone's like,
no.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, it's fucking crazy, right?
Why did we do this? Like, yeah.
And yeah, they like have her show up to his bedroom and he's just like draped over the tiny toddler bed. And it's just like, okay, sure. I guess this happened. I don't know why, but I guess this happened.
It also like gives a shitty element of like, oh, he's a really like a 200-year-old demon. You know what I mean? Kind
oh,
of
no.
thing where it,
no,
you know.
Not the anime thing of like, actually, he's 400.
Right.
He's not 10 years old.
But no, it throws that in, right? Because now when he's taking all these tests and going to hell, so it's like, is he have the mind of like a 13-year-old or some shit, you know? Is it like gross now, like extra? I know they didn't think of it when Coco's hairdresser wants to like bang him and stuff, you know? But
that was the thought that I had, like, while watching this, is I'm like, I forgot they did this fucking time skip thing where they're like, oh, he woke up and suddenly was a 16-year-old boy. And I'm like,
oh,
I fucking
shit.
Forgot about
they
that.
They retroactively made all those ladies pedophiles.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah, that's right.
But I'm like, is he still worth... It's now the reverse problem of what we always go over with ghost babies. Of like, if a ghost baby is alive long enough as a ghost baby, do they become an adult in a baby body? Now we have the opposite problem of, did he like turbo learn everything? Because he doesn't act. To be clear, he in the next following scenes, he is a 6-year-old in a 16-year-old's body. And the actor Cody Fearn does a pretty goddamn good job of portraying that without it being cringy. But it's clearly that.
It's not up for debate. Like, you're right. Like, he has the response a child would have and starts crying like a child in a stressful situation.
But,
yeah.
To be clear, too, they don't write that in, like, in terms of, like, other, like, during when he's in the bunker and everything like that. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if I go back to that, it's not going to be like, oh, he is acting like a little kid. I feel like that's just totally forgotten and meant to explain.
Yeah, that's
like
what I'm saying. Is like,
something.
When we were doing Apocalypse in the first three episodes of this TV show, He's not like, at best, a 10-year-old in a 20-year-old's body. He is a fully grown adult man who has lived a fully grown adult man life and talks and speaks and plans like a fully grown adult man. I feel like this whole, oh, we woke up and he was suddenly 10 years older thing, I think was them being like, and it could maybe happen again, which means he might actually be like 30 or something like that, which is like the most baffling way that they've ever tried to cover up their dog shit continuity, because we all know that this show does not fucking try to keep track of its own timeline. And they were like, well, if he was born in Murder House, that would make him, checks notes, 9 question mark when Apocalypse happens, so we gotta do something. And I'm like, you could have just like had him from the jump be like, yeah, the baby was born and then I woke up the next day and it was a grown ass man.
We're like, you know what, like again, because again, like in a moment they're gonna be like, oh yeah, and here's that fourth child I never mentioned. Like, you, like, why do we care this much about continuity now? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why? Like, come on, you guys are so sloppy everywhere else. Like, don't fucking make this weird.
they could even do something that's like really fucking metal. Like, yeah, there was this baby, and then he got outside, and the wolves got him, and the next day this fucking guy came out of the woods and insisted he was that baby. Like,
yeah,
you could do so much.
Well, that's
and
what
instead
I'm saying.
They just have like, yeah, it's so boring to have it be like, I don't know, he got old.
Yeah, woke up and he, and his, that's the thing, is it's only his body. And I'm like, what purpose does it serve that just his body is now 10 years older? That doesn't like, that doesn't explain how he was an adult man making adult plans in the Apocalypse part, which is, I'm sure, why you're doing this time skip thing. Like, that does, all it does is open more questions of like, well, okay, so is he still like 10, like on the inside? Because that's fucked up. Also, really smart 10-year-old. Really, really wise 10-year-old. Like, honestly, kind of spoiler alert for something they'll say at the end of this episode, they're gonna imply that the house itself has malice and knows how to do evil and influence people. Honestly, an answer that I would have accepted much more would have been like, yeah, when that baby was born, and because remember there was twins, and then that other twin died, it transferred the evil of the house into the other baby, and then that baby is now just the personification of the house. Like, honestly, I would accept that over this. He's a baby in a grown man body. That's normal and cool and threatening. Because now, also, now I'm thinking about him as an antagonist, and I'm like, that's a baby. That's a baby in a grown adult man's body. I'm not afraid of him. That's a child in a grown man's body. This is a Shazam situation. I'm not afraid of him.
But he's also a demon, maybe? I don't know.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, he's like, but
anyway, he's 16 now or something like that, but he's still 6 years old. And again, credit where credit is due, especially for a scene that's coming up. Cody Fern does a good job of being a 6 year old in a 16 year old's body. He really sells it in a way that isn't like, oh, we're doing like a Hallmark movie. He like does a good job of portraying it in a way that you're like, oh, that, yeah, I believe that's a 6 year old boy that's suddenly 16.
Yeah, so he continues his kind of like murderous tendencies by, after, you know, being 10 years older, trying to strangle Constance to death when in her sleep. She wakes up, he delivers a line about like, you don't tell me what to do anymore. And she kind of gives him a like, you know, choking, stop it. He snaps out of it and is then just starts crying and has like, I don't know why I'm doing this, JJ. And yeah, so that happens, and he doesn't successfully kill her. He's just kind of like, oh, I'm sorry. And then Constance says like, oh, all great men have some weird things about them, but seeing him age 10 years in overnight, that's something else, huh? I should probably go get a priest. And so she gets a priest, which Again, much like her being like, yeah, he's going to grow up and do a serial killer for sure. I shouldn't do anything about that. At least this time she's like, I think it's a demon. I should probably get a priest. And she gets a priest. And yeah, Michael just like explodes the priest because fucking of course he does, right?
Sure,
like,
yeah.
What else is he going to do?
Honestly, again, skill issue, because that's still a six-year-old boy in there. Like, what are these people
doing?
It's the
devil,
like,
boy.
He's there to do an exorcism. Like in The Exorcist, they have a whole system and like a buddy system and like tools and shit to make sure no one gets hurt. Like, did this guy just freeball it? Like, yeah, I'll do the exorcism by myself. It'll be fine.
This guy didn't freeball it. The writers freeball it. It was like, what happens in The Exorcist? I don't know. An exorcism, just have the priest explode. Who cares? You know?
We can't afford to have the special effect of him throwing up a bunch, right? No? Okay, yeah. Just have him dead already. Like, whatever.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's one of those things also where, like, the Rose Garden was, like, a good visual or whatever, but that doesn't explain the questions that would come from looking for the dead people. Like, that babysitter definitely told people where she was going, and that priest probably also told people where he was going. And now both of those people are missing, so...
You know why the priest probably told people? Because he's like, hey, I got you here because I told you my son aged like 10 years and I need in a day and I need your help. Like, fuck yeah, he told someone. You don't keep that shit under your hat, you know?
Yeah, you alert the clergy.
Also, like, I assume exorcisms are like considered dangerous military operations where like you have to check in with people to see if it went well because you're fighting the fucking devil. The devil from hell. Have to like give a shit, man.
This is like the whole reason you did it, more or less, right? Like, you didn't think it was literal. Yeah. And then it's like, I don't know. Now you can literally do it directly. Like, it's in your call of duty, so to speak. Like, oh yeah, you're right. Thank you. Like, all right, Jesus, help me here, literally, but...
Jesus, take the wheel, parentheses, actually, I'm getting my ass beat by this six-year-old boy.
Jesus is my wingman, but, like, seriously, he's in, like, a tomahawk, like, a 15 over there.
Oh, my God, yeah, and then Constance is like, well, that sucks, and then she starts crying when she sees the dead priest, and she's like, well... I guess I'm done raising this kid because he's probably going to kill me. You know what I'm going to do about it? Kill myself. Not him. I'm going to kill myself.
I'm going to kill myself about it.
Yeah, I'm going to kill myself about it. I'm not going to kill him. Like, again, he's still, I cannot overstate. He is a six-year-old boy in the ways that, like, matter. Like, he is, we see that he has done evil things. We never see him do the evil things. So he is just a six-year-old boy to us, the audience. And like,
and he's not built like an NFL player or something. Like, he didn't age into being like the fridge, right?
Right.
He like aged into being like kind of a gangly dude.
Yeah.
Like, he's not.
He's a lean 16-year-old
boy. Yeah, he's not like 350 pounds of American muscle getting ready to roll you over or something. He's just a little guy.
It's not shocking he like put all his stats into magic at the end of the day, right? Like,
real glass cannon build.
It'd be one thing if it's like, I need a priest because my son aged into Shaquille O'Neal overnight. Then he'd be like, oh, brother, send the whole church.
No, he's definitely got the glass cannon build. I just don't understand. What I'm saying is with me saying that he's a six-year-old boy, like, most people, I think, and granted, Constance isn't most people, but people who are watching this as an anthology and did not see the other seasons don't fucking know that. They don't know her Constance, like, isms.
Right.
Just kill that six-year-old boy, man. If he's fucking, if that, it's baby Hitler. You're presented with a baby Hitler situation. Just kill him. Just kill him. Like, you can get the jump on him.
He's gonna kill me first. So I need to.
I need to kill me first.
He's gonna kill me first, so I need to kill me first. Yeah, kill him about that.
At least I can stay in the house, right? So yeah.
Yeah. And like,
so yeah, she decides to kill herself because then she gets to be with people she knows in Murder House, which like everyone is miserable there and most of them hate her. So yeah. I don't know what the fuck she's talking about.
Yeah. The amount of people who like her there to the amount of people who don't, I think is just like a 0-1 ratio. Like, I don't even think her children really like her. Beau doesn't like her because she trapped him in the attic.
The Venn diagram is a circle, right?
Like, yeah.
Like who likes, like, who hates Constance? But who likes her? Come on, you know? But.
Yeah. Like, even Tate's really the only kid there who can, like, even speak to her, and he doesn't fucking like her. So, like, I don't know. I think that, like, if you had seen season one, in theory, you would be like, oh, it's because she is very egotistical and she's very, like, narcissistic. She's very clearly a narcissist. Like, we see that in season one. So she would think, like, oh, my children will want me to be with them, so I'm going to kill myself in this house. But if you haven't seen season one, you wouldn't fucking know that. You would just think that she was an old lady. A mean old lady who had a bunch of evil children for some reason.
Mm-hmm. So we get a big sequence of her dancing around and drinking and taking pills and dancing around and then lying down and being dead. And then another child appears. Another child approaches. Wee woo, wee woo. This kid was not in season one. This is, as Liz put it, the DLC child, which I agree. I think this is the child that, much like horse armor, you're disappointed you paid for. They have a girl, like a 7-8-year-old girl in a little church dress or whatever. And she has her eyes, like, fully removed from her skull, just, like, sockets hanging out, no covering or anything.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I was like, okay, I would remember if there was a Zatoichi baby.
Yeah.
I would remember if there was, like, a child that I was like, put a blindfold on that kid and give him a sword. You know, like, for sure. And this kid doesn't say anything other than just, like, Mom, I'm fuzzy or something. And, yeah, that's it. That's it. There was a fourth baby. Is the moral of this scene, I guess.
And she died in the house, evidently. That's the biggest thing to me, is she has no eyes and she died in the house. Like, okay, that feels like it needs a little more, like, investigation, but okay.
It feels very just like, why did we do this? Because, like, she was absolutely not in this season. So, like, why? Like, what was this for? What was the point?
They were like, oh, we need Constance to, like, feel that, like, every child she raised was a monster in some way, shape, or form. But I'm like, that kid's just blind. That's fine.
Yeah.
There's, like, a lot of people who are blind who are, like, super cool. I don't see what the problem here is. Wow. Like, honestly, that to me is, like, Constance, you're a little shitty to your kids. Like, a couple of them had disabilities and you were, like, they're monsters. Like, come on. Cool it, lady. Like, the one was a school shooter. That's no good. We can agree.
Right.
Different kind of monster to Constance. A different new breed of monster. Yeah.
And yeah, she just gives her a little, like, I gotta go be with my kids, and then, like, shuttles away and shuffles off with the child with no eyes, and we're like, huh, wonder if that kid had any backstory, and, like, bad news, asshole, they sure didn't. That kid's here now.
We will not learn why she didn't have eyes, we will not learn how she died, we will not know why she died in Murder House, we don't even, I think, learn her name, this kid doesn't even get a name, she's just fourth Langdon child.
Iris. Oh, sorry, yeah.
You know what we are gonna learn? You know what we are gonna learn?
Great.
Whether or not Ben Harmon's jerking off right now.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, buddy. All right. Like a big shot. We gotta know. Is this man looking over the backyard and yanking his chain, or what's going on? So Madison and Chibis are up there, and they hit him with the, hey, we can make it so you don't have to do that anymore. Which, Liz, in the notes, great question. Why does he have to do that? That doesn't seem like it would be his definitive, like, bad behavior, right? That would be, like, cheating on his wife or whatever. Like, that would probably be the,
like,
thing,
Moira,
that he did that was, like, bad.
Yeah.
Right.
You know how, like, Moira had to seduce the men in the house because that's what she got killed for, was that she was fucking someone else's husband? Yeah, that seems like a thing that would be relevant. Ben Harmon jerked off and cried, like, 5 months before he died. Like, maybe even longer. Maybe even, like, well, actually, it has to be longer, because he did it, the first day they moved in, and they had enough time for his wife to not only get pregnant but also have the babies. So like
he got caught by Larry too, right? Like yeah, it's like yeah, like that at least like would be kind of like a hellish nightmare thing. But like I also feel like wait, is that new that in Murder House you also have a punishment or a thing? You know what I mean? Like some of them, I know Moira does, but like I feel like Haley didn't have to like I don't know be pregnant or some shit. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah.
I just know I'm glad I've been having a good time every time I've jerked off so far. You know, I gotta make sure that yeah. I gotta keep that streak going, right?
Yeah,
can't have any bad ones. God forbid I get locked into that.
The one time you're tear jerking, oh, and that's it for forever. Yeah, that would suck. That yeah, would suck yeah, so bad. Yeah.
Gotta stay the big positive, beating it. Can't never be sad.
Oh my god, I think I said it in the last episode, our episode, but I firmly believe they don't ever explore this. This is my personal headcanon, is that one time another ghost caught him jerking off and crying again, and they were like, that's awkward. And he's like, no, this is my ghost compulsion. I have to do it. This is my weight that I have to carry, my boulder, my Sisyphusian boulder, so to speak.
This is the weird I think you should leave sketch of like, no, I do this. This is what I do because of the ghost house.
I come all over the walls. I have to. Yeah.
And I cry. I have to cry when I'm doing it. If you're enjoying this podcast and are interested in supporting us or having access to additional bonus episodes, consider subscribing to our Patreon over at patreon.com/greatandterribleahs. Supporters who pledge $5 or more a month will get access to our monthly Patreon exclusive episode in which we discuss various American Horror Story spinoffs, such as American Horror Stories. Thank you again for listening, and we hope to see you around next week.
Yeah. That's why he was asking.
Yeah, I'm that fucker that pops out of the walls and comes all over. That's right, it's me.
I'm the tearjerker ghost.
Yeah. So he tells them the day Constance died when he first saw Michael Langdon, his son, quote unquote, which is like, the fact that this dude wasn't like a little, we already did this once in season one, we'll move on. Check out season one if you want to know more, the Murder House, woo, it's a bad time. So he talks about finding Constance dead and or Michael finds Constance dead and starts crying. I would say the actor does a pretty good job of a 6-year-old finding his dead grandma.
I'll say this.
It's pretty good.
In the context of like every film and TV show I've ever seen, is this the best like sad character, like a child finding a dead parent? No. Is it the best a character has ever reacted to a death in this television show course of eight seasons? Absolutely. Yeah. Cody Fern does a great job in comparison to literally every other person finding someone dead, with maybe the exception being, and I don't even really like them that much, but in season one, when Violet finds out that she actually died, and that plot twist is revealed, Tysa Farmiga does a pretty good job of like finding out she died, finding out that she's dead. Character reacts like even close to in a meaningful way when finding another dead character in the show.
I think the real tragedy of American Horror Story 2 is it's not all incompetent. Well, you know what I mean? It's not The Room or something. It's like, there's like these moments in it that are like, there's like somewhere down here, there's like the bones of an okay horror show or whatever. And it's like completely undermined by this like crap writing and this insistent that it's got to be like a consistent world for some reason. Just so like, somebody can like kind of like do their little writing jerk off thing, you know, like, oh, see, it's all connected. Woo.
Yeah, I think it's also largely the actors. I think there's a lot of very talented actors who work on this show who are
absolutely
being crushed under the weight of the television show itself. Because I want to say that, like, of course, like Jessica Lange does incredible with whatever character she's playing, regardless of how stupid it is. I want to say she's had a few moments where she's had a character die and she's had to react to it where it has been meaningful in some way. Cody Fern, again, does, I think, a really good job of portraying a 6-year-old finding like their dead grandma, but being a fully grown 16-year-old boy. there was a moment where I was like, damn, if this show, if I hadn't just seen Ben Harmon jerking off and crying, I might tear up at this scene.
Yeah, also, they really screwed the pooch on the vibe for that one, huh?
Also, like, oh, I always knew I should be a mother. Anyway, now to let my grandson find my body. Like, what an asshole move. Like, Jesus, but all right.
And then won't talk to him, because that's the next thing that happens is, speaking of Ben Harmon, he's sitting in the corner watching Michael, like, crying over his dead grandma's body. And Ben's like, your grandma doesn't want to see you. Basically telling him, like, Constance as a ghost doesn't want to see you. And I'm like, well, that's fucked up, Constance. Like, that's really fucked up. That not only did you kill yourself so he couldn't kill you first, right, but also, like, you won't even explain to him, who is still a six-year-old boy. That's the thing, is, like, the implication is that when Michael is doing evil things, he's not in control of himself. That's why when he was choking her, he's like, I don't know why I did that, grandma. Like, he is not himself when he's doing the evil stuff. He is still just a six-year-old boy.
What's fucked up? They're ripping off. I think the third Omen movie. They get into that, you know, and it's like, you know what I mean? Like, that's where it's like, oh, I don't know. Like, I'm the devil. This is my horrible destiny. But, like, Michael Langdon, in every other scene we've seen him, has absolutely been on board with being, like, the son of Satan or whatever the fuck he is, you know?
He's like, hell yeah, brother. Yeah. Satan time. Let's go. Right. Woo! I hope I get to help the Mossad or whatever.
I sure hate witches. Boy, howdy do I hate witches.
Robot mom, let's go.
Yeah.
What the fuck is this show? Why are we doing this? Take me back to Robot Kathy Bates in the Apocalypse.
Right?
That would have been such a better season. God, that would have been such a better season. Like, Robot Kathy Bates just fucking up the Apocalypse. That would have kicked
ass.
It's
not even a far-off timeline. It was that season. They changed their mind. Or, like, they did the old switcheroo. Damn it. But
thanks, American Horror Story. Very cool. Cool. Ben.
So, yeah, Ben hits him with the, I feel like you're my son, even though you're not, which, like, sure, man, whatever. Says, I'm going to help him. I'm gonna give him the help he craves. And he's like, here's a Rubik's Cube. And he's like, you wouldn't believe how fast this kid learned to do a Rubik's Cube. And I'm like, yeah, man, YouTube tutorials are crazy. It's wild that you can do these things. And, like, tried to give him therapy. And, yeah, just never was like, hey, so I notice you've got the body of, like, a 16-year-old, but, like, the brain of a 6-year-old. What's going on there? Like, never, that was never came up, I guess. And, like, he is still a child, by the way. Like, when Ben's interacting with him, he's giving, like, childlike wonderment, like, yippee, I did the Rubik's Cube, daddy, like, that kind of vibe, which it just feels like it would have come up, you know?
Yeah absolutely.
Yeah. Not that it super matters, but Ben's like, yeah, I loved Michael. And I'm like, why? He's not even, like, biologically your child. Like, it's not also, even, like, the woman you loved raised him. Like, he's just a random kid.
No, and you know what? No, wait. He's not just a random kid. Like, surely Ben Harmon's caught wind of, oh, you kill animals and stuff, huh? Oh, and you've exploded a priest, right? Like, he can't have missed all that. That's, like, a big deal.
And Constance, who he knows is an evil woman, does not want to interact with this kid. I feel like that would be indicator number one, that, like, something's fucked up with this kid. If that evil fucking lady killed herself to get away from him, clearly something's fucked up with this child. This baby's not
puzzles.
Right. Yeah. He needs enrichment. Yeah. And then,
Tate is also in the house, regrettably, and catches at one point Michael Langdon just going through his stuff and sees, he's looking at the gimp suit, and Tate pops off at him and is like, don't look at my stuff. Don't be in my room. I'm putting a big line down. You stay on your side. And basically Michael just goes, hey, by the way, the other ghost told me you're my dad, actually. And then Tate just, like, loses his mind about this. He's like, I'd never make something as evil and full of hate as you. And it's like, did we, like, I know we're like all on the rehabilitating Tate's image train over in the AHS writers room, but like, holy shit, man. Tate's like the worst. Like, Tate's like actually the fucking worst.
Yeah.
It's incredible that later on, Evan Peters will basically be a guy who goes on to be like the worst alt-right extremist, and it's only the second worst character they've made him play behind Tate. And so, like,
just to be clear, Tate, you mean cult, right?
Unbelievable.
Like, yeah, not Evan Peters. Yeah. He's not like extreme alt-right, right?
No, Evan Peters, whew, as far as I know, is a perfectly normal gentleman.
Okay, just making sure.
He goes on to be Quicksilver and X-Men, and that wasn't very well received. But other than that, like, pretty okay.
Oh, bummer. Right. He seems like a fine enough dude.
Yeah.
But yeah. So Tate's like not a good guy. Like, he was a school shooter, and the reason he is Michael Langdon's dad is because he sexually assaulted his girlfriend's mom.
Yeah.
To be clear,
in
you
the
know?
Gimp suit, in bespoke gimp suit. We were just referring to in said gimp suit, which he still has for some reason. Also, but remember how in season one they implied that the gimp suit was like a sentient being that didn't have to have a guy in it and it just existed and it was the rubber man asking for a friend. The friend is me.
They did that, but then they wanted the, like, because I remember they had the promo, like, learn next episode who the rubber man is. And I was like, oh, I liked it better when it was nobody. And then it was like, it's Tate. And you're like, oh, that's stupid and horrible, actually, now that I think about it, you know, but so it goes.
What if we brought it back in the first couple episodes of American Horror Story Apocalypse and he could have sex with the character that is later going to play his dad? Would that be cool? Or the actor play his
that's
dad?
Weird.
Is that cool and good? <That's>... anyway. wow. This is such a real show that aired on actual television that people can watch with their own two eyes. Anyway, Ben's like... Yeah, Michael started to get too silly. Michael, like, started re-killing the Black Dahlia lady ghost who we could afford, and that's why she's back for this cameo. And then, like, she, like, looks over at Ben from the operating table where Michael is fucking her up, and she's like, am I pretty? And I'm like, you're a ghost. You don't, like, have to let him... do that, but since we're here, hey, wouldn't that be like a good way to like keep him busy and give him enrichment is just to let him keep murdering the ghosts if that's like something he can do? If he's gotta murder somebody, at least those people are already dead. Like, that's a pretty harmless, that's a victimless crime for the most part. Like, no, we're not gonna do that. They sold the house to some lesbians. I'm only saying that because this couple will be in the show for precisely 18 seconds, but they wanted us to know that they're lesbians. And it's like, okay, inclusivity win,
yeah.
I guess. Yay. the lesbians bought the house.
Yeah.
And then Michael in the gimp suit fucking kills them with telekinesis that I guess he can do now. And then Michael's like, you guys don't belong here. And I'm like, well... okay, and then he sets their ghosts on fire? Like, they die, right? And then their ghosts spawn, and then he sets the ghosts on fire. And because they made these two characters that are only in the show for roughly 8 to 12 seconds lesbians, it just kind of makes it look like Michael's homophobic. because he sets their ghosts on fire and is like, you don't belong here. And I'm like, damn, Michael, fucked up.
Oh, no. Yeah. No wonder we don't see Zachary Quinto and the other guy. Like,
yeah.
But so the big implication here is that he can murder ghosts. Like, he can like make ghosts like extra dead. He can just like unexist you or something, which is why all the other ghosts are afraid of him and don't want to talk about him and shit. But also, like, I don't know, man. That seems stupid. Like, not only does it just, like, it seems stupid conceptually, but also, like, a lot of those ghosts would probably be like, oh, you can make me cease to be? Tight. Get
yeah,
on
right.
It. Like, all right, let's
do it, big
boy. That would
have solved the Moira problem instantly. Moira could have been just like, can you un-ghost me? Can you just send me to the great beyond and just, like, delete me? They make it seem like it's a bad thing. And I'm like, no, the murder house ghosts are, like, not jazzed to be there. Like, most of the people there would actually love to not have to be there anymore. So, like, this is not, like, as ominous and negative as the show is framing it for some reason. They're like, oh, he can, not only can he murder people, people, but he can also murder ghosts. It's like, okay, is that right? Me? Thing? Do we care? Like, it, this is them being like, look, actual death is like actually like valid again in this universe. I'm like, well, but the people who are ghosts don't like being ghosts, so it doesn't like matter.
It's like
this
too
is
late.
A bad way
like,
to do it.
Like, you've already fucked this up, American Horror Story. Like, don't bother now with like, well, what if you can get rid of ghosts? Like, ah, who cares? Like, it's too late.
Well, time for Ben Harmon the genius to go. Damn, I tried nothing and it didn't work. I could never help this kid. There's nothing I could have done. He was too evil. He was evil enough to explode a ghost. Fuck, I was all wrong.
At least that's consistent that he's like an awful therapist still, like season one and season eight. Yeah, like it never got better. Never learned anything from eternity.
And then Madison, because again, this was all a flashback to Madison and Chablis. Just as like, oh no, the new Supreme is the most evil person ever, which like...
You kind of knew that.
The problem with this is they've spent like an episode and a half selling us on this point, which like he was already writhing around on the ground covered in snakes and blood yelling, Daddy Satan. It's cool. I got it.
Right?
You know? Like,
yeah, it's like we've learned nothing from this whole fucking thing. And they like did like quests for it and everything. And it's like, all right, here's his biography. It's like, great. Can I stop him? Is he still like, nah, I don't know. You know, he just sucks.
Also, none of it explains why he's like a good, like why he's a wizard. Because Madison's like, oh no, the new Supreme is super evil. I'm like, I think my first thought would be like, oh, he's not the Supreme. He's just the devil. Not, I wouldn't have gleaned like, oh, and that's why he's such a good wizard is because he's a 6-year-old in a 16-year-old's body. That makes sense. Like, none of it had to do with, like, their shit, so or, I don't know how they gleaned that.
Or, like, not that anyone cares, but even, like, how he got into the, what the hell was it? The cooperative, you know? Or, like, anyhow that happened or anything, you know? Like, it's just all like, yeah, well, he sucks, yeah. Anyway.
But we need another cameo.
I get it now. He skipped puberty, so there was no time for testosterone in his magic circuit.
Yeah. Oh my god, wait, what if that was it? Holy shit. Oh my god.
I hate this fucking show.
Holy shit. I hate this fucking show, man. Oh my god.
Oh god, stupid, dumb. Well, Vivian shows up and Ben's like, oh, hey, babe, we good again, babe? And she's like, no. Anyway, I just wanted everyone to know, Michael Langdon is like so bad. It's really no good. I took the real ghost baby back because Nora didn't want it. Okay. Bye.
Then they kiss, and I guess we're supposed to be like, yay, yippee. They being Ben and Vivian. Again, nobody wanted this or cares, so who fucking cares? And Vivian's like, I think that baby's the child of Satan. I'm like, you birthed the child, so I think you would know better than anybody. But that's
also
the reveal.
I'll be real. I think we know at this point. Yeah. I think it's we don't need another character from One Piece from like two arcs ago to show up and be like, I think that kid's from the devil. Like, I know, man.
Well, she actually did just get here, I guess. So it's like, no, Vivian, we're past this. Also, like, why? I thought you guys were good at the end of season one. That was the whole, like, resolution. I guess we're not. All right, whatever. Anyway. Yeah.
And you'd fucking think the episode would end there because it does, like, that reveal and then hard cuts and then Ben and Vivian kiss. That's not the fucking end of the episode. Now Vivian is like, sometimes crows would circle outside of the house when Michael was there, and it's also very hot in the house, and that's how I know that he's a devil baby. And I'm like, you're a ghost. Do ghosts get hot? Is that a thing that you can do?
Well, if you have a devil baby, like from hell, then it's like a thermostat. But for
he did set those other ghosts on fire. So ghosts are flammable, it turns out. Yeah, and she's like, also sometimes Satanists would randomly show up at the house. And I'm like, do Satanists have like a special GPS that tells them where Satan is? Is that a thing that Satanists typically have? No is the answer. Three hooded figures show up at one point, like the three wise men and baby Jesus is, I assume, the allegory that they're going for. And they follow the crows to Murder House. I guess they're just going to every house that has a bunch of crows. And they're like, maybe Satan's in here. And they give them
gold, Frankenstein, and murder. Get it? Oh, yeah. Yeah. What's up? Boom.
Yeah.
Catholic school finally comes in handy.
Yippee! Also, now we're introducing a real life person again. It's been too long since we've done that.
Oh yeah,
it's real life.
We're introducing
time.
A real life person, and we're gonna get everything about this motherfucker wrong. We're gonna get him wrong. We're gonna get the belief system he put in place wrong. We're gonna get just all of it, man. We're fucking it up. It's unbelievable. Cause yeah, we got some we got some folks showing up, and they walk in, they give him a bow, and it is supposed to be Anton LaVey, baby. That's right. For those of you who don't know, Anton LaVey is the founder and creator of Satanism, or like Anton LaVeyist Satanism. I guess before, let's talk about it a little bit, and then I'll maybe talk about like the actual principles behind that form of Satanism and how one of the core ones is Satan doesn't exist. That's like a big part of it.
Huge.
So they show up, and Mead is one of the other robed people, and they just are like, "Okay, Michael, you're the chosen one," and he's like, "Yay." Great.
Yeah, yippee. And Naomi Grossman, who is Pepper in Freakshow, is here, and she's also a Satanist. This is, I think, her only cameo in this season, if anybody cares. And then the third one is Mead, yippee. And they're like, "Michael, you're the chosen boy." And Michael does basically the human equivalent of the semicolon three face. And then Vivian's like, "I didn't stop them because I thought Anton LaVey was full of shit." And I'm like, "What? Like, you knew, but you know Michael's the devil, baby. So like, you probably don't want anybody to be a bad influence on him, regardless of whether or not you think that guy's full of shit. You probably would still want to intervene." But alas, they don't. And then they do the Black Mass, which is where Mead kidnaps a teenage girl to ritualistically sacrifice her so that Michael can eat her heart, question mark? I don't think that's something that Satan typically asks for. But Michael's like, "Okay." And then he eats the heart. And then the shadow of Satan appears behind him on the wall in a very Looney Tunes-ass way. And Michael's like, "Daddy." And then it starts hailing outside. And that's, I guess when it hails outside, that means that Satan's real, question mark?
Yeah, no, that's a thing, right? That's what meteorologists say. It's like, we got a high chance of Satan.
if it's hailing anywhere in the world, that means Satan's real. And then Vivian's like,
"That's why they say hail Satan, actually."
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. Cool. I was always wondering that. Yeah. That actually tracks. And then Vivian's now like, "Yeah, when that happened, I knew I had to try and kill him." I'm like, "Oh, that was the point that you decided you needed to try and kill him?" But then Michael was like, "No, thank you," and sets her on fire. But Tate saves her from being on Ghost Satan fire? I don't know how that works. Apparently, stop, drop, and roll applies to demon ghost fire, and nobody tried it. I guess if I was a ghost, I wouldn't assume I could get set on fire, so maybe I wouldn't think about it. And she's like, "I don't think Tate or Ben is Michael's dad, and it's the evil of the house who impregnated me." And I'm like, "Okay.
What?
Sure. Whatever. whatever, man." And then Madison's like, "Okay, we gotta fucking go." And Behold's like, "Oh, we fucked up so fucking bad. We fucked up so fucking bad. We have to stop this kid. Oh, fuck. We fucked up so bad. I'm so sorry. We fucked up so bad." And then Violet is crying. So, like, right now, I want to frame the like, scene. They're leaving because they realize they've accidentally put, like, the Antichrist in a huge position of power where he could potentially, like, rule over a bunch of warlocks and witches. And they're like, "Oh, fuck, we have to go stop him. We fucked up so bad." And they hear a teenage girl they don't fucking know crying in the corner. And Madison's like, I have to do a side quest really quick. It's urgent that I do this. And she goes over there.
I have to go do the worst thing on accident. Ugh. There's no time to save the world. I have to go do apologia for for Tate. Oh, man. Ooh. Running defense for Tate. Ooh, hate to see your goat be washed. Like, goddamn. Yeah, they hear Violet crying under the stairwell a little bit, and she's like, "Hey, what's wrong? What's going on?" And she's like, "Oh, my boyfriend was a monster, and I wish I didn't have to see him ever again." That kind of stuff. And Madison's like, "I don't know. He seemed fine. I only met him. He looks like maybe like kind of a soft boy. Like that's about it, though. He seems fine."
Yeah, he seems real sad.
Yeah, which it feels like this is kind of on Violet to be like, he was a school shooter who raped my mom. Like, you gotta put that on the table when that's the facts.
Yep, yep.
No, Madison's like, in the 35 seconds I interacted with him, he seemed like a pretty okay guy. Which, I mean, to be fair to Madison, sure. Like, sure, right. She doesn't know he's a school shooter rapist. So, like, sure. Madison's like, well, he seemed like okay to me. Maybe give him another shot. Like, I'm assuming, I'm giving Madison the benefit of the doubt that she just thinks this is, like, two teenagers who are having a falling out. And they're going to be stuck together forever. So she's trying to do a good thing and, like, maybe help them reconcile since they're stuck together for, like, the rest of eternity.
Yeah, this is on Violet.
Yeah.
To be clear. Yeah. This is like, Violet should be like, no, you don't fucking get it. Like, that's like, this is really one of those, you're allowed to be like, no, you don't get it. You don't know how I feel. Let me explain.
Yeah, and then Madison's like, well, maybe the house made him evil. And then she's like, probably, maybe any of the evil in the house left with Michael, ? And then she blows dust into Violet's eyes. And then Violet looks up and sees Tate looking down at her from the stairs. What the fuck is happening? And then Violet's like, thanks for blowing dust in my eyes. I see that Tate is good and that he, when he cummed in my mom, that all of the evil of the house left him, I guess.
the purifying nut, they called it.
The fucking nut of darkness.
Fellas, you ever come so hard you summon the Antichrist?
Edging, but the edge of darkness.
Sometimes you stare into the abyss and the abyss knocks back.
Oh my god.
That's terrible.
Okay, and so Violet and Tate are back together. Yay! Yippee! All the threads everyone cared about are done, I guess.
We've redeemed Tate. You have to say sorry to Tate now if you're ever mean to him.
He was never evil.
If you ever said he was bad,
yeah.
He's been good the whole time. You were wrong.
He
was never evil. The school shooting was just like he was being too silly. So, like, it's fine.
The house did it.
Yeah, the house did it.
The house made him be silly bad.
Yeah. Somehow the house can affect you when you leave the house. Fucked up, we know.
That's what Ben's doing. He's crying because he's trying to get the evil out, but he can't do it. He doesn't get it. See?
Yeah, he's not pure of heart. He's not pure of heart enough.
Right.
It's very cool.
Don't like Goku flying on the Nimbus.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. It's fucked up that they're going to be like, this absolves Tate of any, really, an audience, I need you to know, the reason they're doing this is because Tate and Violet were such a popular pairing in season one that they're like, well, we don't want people to feel bad about it because Tate is a school shooter rapist. So, like, we don't want people to feel, like, gross about it. So we're going to absolve him of any guilt by saying the house did it. I'm like, well, okay, so does that absolve everybody from all of the things that have happened in the house? Because a lot of people have done a lot of real fucked up things. So is the abortion guy who murdered people in the basement, is he also cool? Like, was he also cool and good and it was fine? Or what's the deal? Doesn't matter. They're together again. Yippee. And then Tate and Violet kiss, and Madison and Behold get in a car. Behold calls Madison a softie, and then they share quippy little remarks about having to stop Michael. The episode's over. Yay. We did it. Tate's a good guy now. He cummed out all the evil, actually, and it's fine. Happy Chase okay. Early.
Woohoo. Boston won for the Lord. Let's go.
Yay.
Oh, man. If only he had been crying and jerking off for that load, then there wouldn't have been a problem. There would be no issues.
Yep.
Oh, man. Ben Harmon was trying to show him the way. If you only jerk off, you can never accidentally create the son of Satan.
That's what they don't tell you. They don't want you to know. 9 out of 10 dentists recommend jerking off so that you don't accidentally summon the Antichrist.
Oh, yeah. This also, by the way, was another case of Madison should have seen two people who looked exactly like two other people she knew. Three, actually, over the course of these episodes. And it does feel a little weird to not have her be like, about any of them. About Kyle, about Constance, or about Violet. Like, there should be a moment of like, at least like something, right? Something. If we're going to have Ben Harmon jerking off and crying, we can have a nudge and a wink about the fucking characters, I think.
Yeah. Would hope, but.
And yeah, that's the end of the episode. Since we're already running over, I won't go too deep into it. But if you're interested in learning more, Anton LaVeyism is not like they don't worship Satan. It's closer to like right wing libertarianism, like the myth of the self-made man and that kind of shit. It has very little to do with worshiping the devil. They pretty explicitly do not believe the devil is real. That's like kind of part of it. Yeah, very cool. What's the name of this next episode? Traitor? What the? But who? There's so many people, and I don't care about any of them.
Me neither.
Yeah, till next time, folks. Thanks for listening, and look forward to find out who's gonna do a traitor. Bye.
So long. God, what a terrible show.